Well, Frank, tell me how did you get involved in the whole process of let's say even the alliance against black and against racism and political repression, and you became the executive director.
I was a political prisoner for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how I got involved.
Mm-hmm. Where were you? Were you in California?
No, I was in Missouri.
Missouri, okay.
Yeah, a former slave state.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was in a prison that sat on 47 acres, and it was known as the bloodiest 47 acres in America. It was called the Missouri State Penitentiary, a very racist institution, and a very oppressive institution and harsh in terms of its treatment of black prisoners. And we carried on a struggle within that prison against the racist segregation that was going on, against the treatment of black prisoners. You know, a lot of prisoners were killed there unjustifiably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we were rising up against the system. You know, so I was involved in that struggle in Missouri, and the movement saw me as a political prisoner because I became very political while in prison,
mm-hmm.
like Jack Jackson did. You know. And so that's the inside of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The outside of it is that, you know, Angela Davis and others involved in the movement helped me get out. They helped organize a campaign to free me. And so when I came home in 1976, guess what I did? I joined their organization, which at that time was the National Alliance Against Race and Political Repression. And I've been in it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we've gotten a lot of other prisoners out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to do that work. Just recently, we got a brother out right here in Chicago named Gerald Reed, who was tortured and put in prison by the John Birch gang. Police torturers here in Chicago who tortured a whole lot of black men and women and had them sent to jail for crimes that they did not commit. And so his victory was very significant, and hopefully, a pathway to the victory for other, brothers and sisters who are still locked up in that system.
Mm-hmm.
We're still doing the work.
Right. So Frank, I noticed that you did some work with the Communist Party, USA. And you wrote that book. I'm not getting into that because I really want to talk to you more about the book at a later point. But I do want to just say this. You wrote that book called Marxist-Leninist Perspective on Black Liberation and Socialism. Just tell me just a little bit about that.
Well, I joined the Communist Party because I'm a communist.
Right.
and I became one while in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like George Jackson was a communist.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Hampton was a communist. You know,
right.
there were communists in the Black Liberation Movement. We weren't all communists, but some of us were. You
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
but we worked together, regardless of what our particular ideology was,
mm-hmm.
because we were all dedicated to bringing about Black liberation. And you know, we take the view that Black liberation is central to any progressive struggle going on in the United States. Or the world, for that matter, and the position that we take in the book, and the position that we take in real life, is that there is no pathway to socialism without black liberation.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have black liberation, and to say let's wait till we get socialism before we have black liberation, we reject that. You know,
mm-hmm.
we need black liberation now, and the reason why we need it is because. This is the only way that we're going to get a pathway to socialism. That's one of the reasons why we need it. Of course, the fundamental and most basic reason why we need it is that black people are demanding it after years and years of slavery and other forms of bondage.
Mm-hmm. So, Frank, just a couple more questions. So, during this Black August 2021, you know, and all the things that have been going on, where do you see the Black Liberation Movement or the movement itself going?
Well, I think right now, in this particular moment, you know, if we learn anything from what happened last year, you know, 2020, with the George Floyd rebellion, mm-hmm. in this particular moment right now, you know, we have got to really deal with this question of police tyranny in our communities. Mm-hmm. We've got to put an end to it. We have got to put an end to it. And the only way it's going to end is that we end it. That means that black people and brown people have got to have community control of the police. We have got to be able to say who polices our communities and how our communities are policed. You know, we've got to stop these race lynchings that are taking place in the name of law and order. We've got to stop that. You know, we've got to stop the police being the judge, the jury, and the executioner in our communities. Because this is also denying us the organizing space that we need to fight for other things like housing, like jobs, and other things that black people and oppressed people need. So this is a very critical thing. Mm-hmm. The police are standing in the path of our liberation with a flaming sword. We've got to deal with this.
Right.
We've got to have community control of the police. Okay. That's one of the fundamental human rights demands of this moment, at this time.
Right. And, you know, just to piggyback on that, you know, one of the things that's going on right now, you know, since the Black Lives Matter, you know, start getting into what the police was doing, police repression. And right now there's a lot of shooting and killing going on, they say, in our communities, right? And the call is beginning to, the tide is beginning to turn, the call for more police to come back in or to set up special groups to go after people, you know. What are your thoughts on that? Because
we just won the passage of an ordinance here in Chicago, mm-hmm. called Empowering Communities for Public Safety. And the reason why we won that is because we were able to unite people on the question of public safety. We're not overlooking the internal violence that goes on in our communities. But the police is not the solution to that. In fact, they're the problem. You know.
Do you think there's an instigation of that?
Well, in some instances we know it is.
Oh, okay.
But here's the problem. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. The problem is this: it's fundamentally a democratic problem of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
We as a people, mm-hmm. we as a community, have no say in how our communities are policed. And who does the policing?
Mm-hmm.
Racist cops do the policing. And how is police is like this.
Mm-hmm.
70% of the homicides in our communities are unsolved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So they're not really interested in solving crime. They're interested in social control. You know, they're interested in keeping us in bondage. And so in order for us to get to the problems of public safety with regard to our people, we have got to take charge of the policing. That's our fundamental position. That's what we mean by community control, by black community control of police measures. Mm-hmm. We mean that until we can do that, these problems are going to go on. When we be out there in the streets agitating,
mm-hmm.
and educating for community control of the police, sometimes black people, particularly older black people, will come up to me and they will say, "What are you going to do about police crimes?" I said, well, it ain't nothing you can do about it until we get control of the policing, because clearly the police aren't doing anything about it. And so we need to be the ones who make our communities safe.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the best pathway to that is for us to have a decisive voice in how policing is done in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
For policing to be centered in our needs, and that's what this ordinance that we just passed here in Chicago, that's what it begins to make happen, mm-hmm. because it is centered in the needs of the community. You know, we will be able to elect a citywide commission that will make policies in terms of how our communities are policed and who polices them. That doesn't exist in any other city in the United States.
Right.
Now, we're not saying that this is the perfect solution,
mm-hmm.
because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
It puts our people in a position to empower themselves to deal with the problems of crime and whatnot that exist in our community. Mm-hmm. Right now, we don't have the power to do none of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and this law and order game has been the biggest con game on the black community for the last 100 years. They're always talking about they're fighting against crime. And in reality, they're fighting against us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
'Cause they criminalize the whole entire community. Everybody in the black community is a suspect. We gotta change that.
Right.